Okay. So I think we're good to go, Lynn.
All righty.
You.
Okay. I'm calling to order this meeting of the Boston Landmarks Commission on April 25th, 2023 at 6:03. Present are Commissioners Freeman, Walker, Orlando, Verducci, Goganian, Hotelling, Gagno, Hoffman, and myself, Lynn Smilage. I'm going to read the agenda into the record. First order of business, review and approval of the design review applications, and this is, will only be our administrative applications or administrative approvals. And then two subcommittee reports, one on the study report subcommittee that met last week, and a second one on the 12 Rear Plain Street violation subcommittee. Followed by an advisory review on the Boston Public Garden tool shed restoration and additions. Minutes we will postpone until the next meeting, ratification of the minutes from March 28th, followed by staff updates and adjournment. So first order of business is the review and approval of the administrative design review applications. David, if you wanna walk us through those.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's see, let me pull up this page. All right, so the first, these are applications that came before the Landmark staff, and they were approved by the staff based on their conformance to the standards of criteria. So our the motion at the end of my reading amendment would be to accept the staff's acceptance of these applications. So the first is 23.0832, and it's at 1 Faneuil Hall Square in Boston. It's installing an exhibit on Boston slavery on the first market floor, second floor, room 203, and a basement of Faneuil Hall. Next is 23.08, the Lauren Greeno House at 12 South Street in Jamaica Plain, and it's regarding damaged non-original and non-replication wallpaper being replaced with period-appropriate paper in the bride's bedroom. Next, 23.0829. This is the Blackstone Block Street Network at 1 Union Street in Boston, and it's regarding the recovering an awning fabric for Santander Bank using same existing frame, frame color, new frame material, removing awning from the building and reinstall in the same area in a few days later. Next is 23.0419, and this is at 84 Commercial Wharf in Boston, and the work is replace wooden storefront paneling at facade and south corner in kind. And the last is 23.0860. It's Build a Bear signage at 6 North Market Square in Boston. And the proposed work is at Quincy Market, installation of exterior belt sign supplied by ICS Sign Company. So the motion is to again accept these the staff's acceptance of these applications.
Okay, and a second.
I'll second.
Okay, was that Justine?
Yes.
Okay, and Commissioner Hotelling will be voting. Commissioner Jacques, I saw she was here.
Actually, let me look. I might not have. Maybe I didn't.
I'll go back to her if she can enter the meeting. Commissioner Freeman.
Here she is.
Commissioner Freeman.
I didn't get him either.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Everyone came in at once tonight. So I'm.
How about Walker?
Thank you. I couldn't unmute. The host needed to do it. Yes.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Okay,
sorry.
I'm going to take that as a yes. Thank you. Commissioner Walker?
Yeah, he's.
He's. Fine. I got him.
Okay. Orlando?
Yes.
Verducci?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Jacques?
Yes.
All right. And
Henderson. Lynn, Richard yes. Henderson is here too.
Yes, I saw him. Jacques said yes. Commissioner Henderson?
He's saying thumbs up. He's muted.
Thumbs up. All right.
I think I just unmuted.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Hotelling?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right, thanks. So next order of business, subcommittee report. So I'm going to report briefly on the meeting of the study report subcommittee, and then I was going to ask Chelsea to update us on the violation subcommittee. Study report committee met last Thursday, and along with proponents of the Parker House Hotel, and it went very smoothly. They accepted all the amendments that Jennifer had drafted, that her initial response. They'd made a lot of requests initially, but actually came back with only three priority items on their agenda. We addressed all three, discussed them, came to consensus. And actually, I think there were a couple small clarifications that were made that I think we might want to consider incorporating in the standards and criteria on an ongoing basis from now on. They just make things a little more clear. So they should be coming to us soon for a final vote on the study report and vote on designation. So that was, I appreciate the efforts of the subcommittee members to make that happen. Chelsea, you want to tell us about the violation situation?
Sure. So this was the carriage house that unfortunately got demoed over Christmas at the back of, at the rear of the house at 12 Plain Street. The demolition was at will, but with no demo permits, no building permits. However, because of the timing and the way that ISD inspected the building and the way the applicant handled his permitting, ISD, a little bit after the fact, sort of stated that the building wouldn't have been safe for anyone to work in, even if we had asked for them to preserve the building. Or in, even if we had asked for the demo delay to be invoked, it wouldn't, ISD said it wouldn't have been safe to work in. And this is one of those typical cases where you hire an engineer. First you rip all the sheathing off the building. Then you hire an engineer. This engineer said it wasn't safe. And the commissioner of ISD tended to agree, although I don't think anyone at ISD actually saw it in person. So our legal counsel decided that this was not a violation that we should pursue because we didn't have the backing of ISD. And that is true. When I asked if the commissioner would support our violation and impose the 2-year moratorium on any permits for the property, they said no. They said, instead of that, we're going to void all the permits on the carriage house and have them apply for an ERT permit, which is a new building erection permit. And that process supposedly is going to take a long time anyway. So the commissioner thought that was, punishment enough, I guess. But it was a really tricky one, I have to say. Like I think Brad and I looked through the permits ad nauseum, and it's unfortunate, but that's how this contractor did it. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Sue, you are muted, but I think you are able. Yeah.
That makes sense to me, Chelsea, but it doesn't absolve them. None of that absolves them from having to, supposed to come for us and apply, even if it turns out to be something that we can't delay. They're still supposed to go through that process. And there's a missing piece here if a contractor can arrange this in such a way that they can do what they want. So I don't know if anybody knows what the missing piece is. And also, frankly, I don't see why ISD has any standing here in terms, I mean, they have standing in terms of the safety, but that doesn't absolve anybody from coming, from at least applying to come before us.
I agree.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I asked twice. I asked the commissioner twice to support our notion that we would bring the violation forward. And he answered once by saying, no, I think it's better if we just do the ERT permit. And that's a similar length of time anyway. And then the second time I asked, he said no, because the building wouldn't have been safe to work in. And therefore, I can't support that violation. I don't think it makes any real sense either, but that is, I mean, our legal counsel was very clear that we needed ISD support on this if we were going to bring it forward. So I hope that the next one is much more clear.
Well, so I guess the thing I would say is, then we need clarification about why we need ISD support.
I think it's a question of limited resources that everybody, every department in the city has, including Landmarks. And I think to get their support, we would have to make a case that it is not a small carriage house, but a larger issue that involves all carriage houses or whatever. I agree with everything that you've said, of course. But I think in terms of managing how we deal with ISD, they are all complaining now about the workload. Projects, they're under pressure from the mayor's office, as are all the other departments, including us. And they don't want to commit resources to anything that they don't have to. And that's my opinion, by the way. I'm not stating it as a fact. That's my
opinion. Our demo delay is our sort of like the answer to someone doing a demo at will is that ISD is our enforcement. So if they're not willing to enforce it, our legal counsel said we shouldn't be bringing it forward.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that part.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out how. And I would think a couple of things here. One, I think maybe, and this is no slight against you, Chelsea, in any way, but no. Maybe some kind of pressure needs to come from someone who's not a member of the staff. I think that's one thing. I think another thing is that, you know, if the mayor's office makes all this noise about preservation, then they need to understand that they have a role to play here in not working against what we're trying to do.
This is just to me reinforcing the fact that Article 85 is flawed, and we have to fix it or replace it.
And this isn't the first time this has happened.
No.
Those of us who've been here a while kind of could name half a dozen times that something equivalent has happened.
Yeah, and my fear is about the systemic failure, about that this kind of thing is going to escalate if there's no way to combat it, if there's no real way to combat it. Because why would anybody go through the process if they don't need to?
Right? And part of the systemic failure is this: the process relies on an ISD plan reviewer to say this is demo when they see demo on the documents they receive. And if that slips through the cracks, which is what happened here, and then we have to go back to them and say, we need your support to find a violation and enforce a violation, we're asking them essentially to also be in a process where someone's going to point a finger back at them.
Right.
And so that puts the ISD in an awkward position.
Yeah. And so this is kind of like a bigger issue that I would like to someday get to with ISD, where I've offered to go over and like take a couple different sets of plans as examples and say, This is demolition.
This is what demo looks like.
This is what demo looks like.
Well, there was an issue that some of you will remember where the applicant submitted the project as an ERT, as a new construction, did not include any demo drawings.
Right.
And the inspectors looked at it and approved it and gave them a permit. And they demoed the building that was in fact existing and right. went ahead with their new construction.
The thing about this one is that it had not only gone through ISD for review, it had gone to the BPDA twice for design review. And the applicant said, nope, I'm not demoing the building. And everyone at BPDA and everyone at ISD said, okay, you're not demoing the building. And of course, that's the first thing he did. So it goes, to me, it's sort of like, wow, how can you not think that was going to happen? But I guess there needs
to be. So it was a fraudulent application on the part of the owner.
I see it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You can't blame somebody for not picking up on that something was intentionally fraudulent.
Right. And there were no demo drawings in this whole project. Like, and the other thing I think I need to say, just so that everyone understands, this contractor had already developed and, well, how do you say it? He combined two lots. No, sorry. He split two lots, made a third lot, knocked down a building with Article 85 for the first one, built a second building on the new plot, and then restored a house, and then knocked down a carriage house on the third plot. So the neighbors are like absolutely fed up to hear. Like, ISD was very frank that this guy had gotten a lot of attention, and I think he just was angry and just did it. So go ahead, Roseanne. Are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Since we seem to be letting it all out, this public hearing that's recorded, which my staff knows that it makes me cringe, but whatever. Maybe it will be that someone will uncover this situation because bring it to light publicly, because my staff, VLC staff has no, doesn't seem to be given any power, doesn't seem to possess any power, and other departments are regularly given power over us. And it will take much more than a rewriting of an ordinance or a zoning language to fix that if the city is serious about preservation. And that's all.
And that has to come from the top.
Yeah.
From the fifth floor.
Right.
It does.
Well, it does, but we maybe it would help if we made a case for it too. I mean, there's so many things wrong with this, up to and including the fact that the city really shouldn't want people to be flagrantly abusing its regulations, because that's that's not good for anybody.
Right.
Yeah, it makes it seem as though there's someone on the take, which I don't think that's true, but it should raise eyebrows.
It doesn't pass the smell test.
Exactly.
Okay.
How do we get more power for the staff, Roseanne?
I'd be glad to have a conversation with you offline about that.
Okay. I mean, I think this is important because I see this increasing, and it's not good for the city and it's not good for preservation. And it's also not good for the staff, frankly, to take all that time. You know, that's a lot of time investment that mm-hmm. you shouldn't have had to make. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't get anything for it.
Right.
Correct.
Well, I got a good learning lesson.
Well, thank you for that.
That's all on that. So we won't, at this time, we will not bring that forward for a hearing.
This is also something else that was on our, has been on our list of goals, and that is getting the same level of legal representation as other city departments, which we really haven't had. Consistent support and consistent support. And I know that there's a desire on the part of the city to avoid any kind of litigation at all costs, which I understand, but okay, I think we should move on. So thank you all. Thanks, Chelsea. Next up, advisory review on the tool shed at the Boston Public Garden. So if the proponents could identify themselves and offer their presentation.
So Brad, I'm gonna let you present your own screen.
Great, thanks, Chelsea. Okay.
And then just, can you guys confirm that you have or will have sent an exact copy of your presentation to us in some form?
Yes, I think it's been uploaded to your portal. Okay.
That's great, thank you.
All right, let me share my screen. And while I'm doing that, I just want to introduce two other colleagues who will be speaking with me tonight, Marissa Peralt from UTL and Kyle Zick from Kyle Zick Landscape Architecture.
Welcome.
Thank you. All right. Commissioners, thanks so much for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. We are here for a design advisory review for the Public Garden Tool House. That's a working name. We're still working on a more glamorous name for everything for this. So if you have any suggestions, we are all ears. just to really quickly go through what we'll talk about, a little bit of the goals and opportunities for this project, review some of the plan iterations, and then the proposed plan that we've landed on, and then the material palette for the project. I'm gonna move through these quickly because we don't wanna take up too much of your time tonight. But when we start thinking about the goals and opportunities for this project, there are a number of them. I'll try not to read all of these, but hit the highlights. The first one is, it, most importantly, is to provide a maintenance facility that is sufficient for the needs of the public garden. I'll show you in just a moment that the ratio of maintenance space to space to be maintained is wildly out of whack. This space also provides some important space, not only for the Parks Department maintenance staff, but also for the Swan Boats, which is a private nonprofit that operates the Swan Boats on the lagoon and is a, you know, intrinsic part of the identity of the public garden. Skipping down to number four also is the Friends of the Public Garden are tremendously important partners in maintaining the park and dedicating resources that the city budgets just don't allow. And then there are some more physical things we want to do, and that is to clarify the pathways around this building. Currently, it is very confusing for visitors to the park. There are some prominent pathways that lead right to the front door of a private maintenance facility. And there are some important specimen trees around the building that we want to maintain. And then overall, just, you know, try to maintain the historic nature and be very sensitive to the public garden, and really try to minimize the footprint of the buildings and the paving to maintain the landscaped open space while still providing a very functional maintenance facility for the Parks Department. And just in terms of where we are in the overall project schedule, we're right towards the end of schematic design. We have had one public meeting. We've met with Chelsea and Joe a couple of times to get their input from the staff level. And we've met with the Friends of the Public Garden a few times as well, of course, the park staff and the Public Facilities Department who've been very helpful in pushing this forward. There are many other steps ahead of us, including design development with additional public meetings and construction documents. And of course, a review with you for not just an advisory, but for approval. A little bit about the context, just to clarify for everybody, we are on the east edge of the public garden, right here in this circle. It is a very small building. As you can see, the public garden is 24 acres, about 1 million square feet of space. Only 642 square feet of that is dedicated to the maintenance building. And even within that, only 2/3 is actually available for the Parks Department. The other third is occupied by the swan boats. And so it's just, the Parks Department has done miracles in being able to support the public garden, but the facility is bursting at the seams, quite literally. And you'll see some of our photographs later on that there's a shipping container on the site. And it's just, the space has expanded beyond the building footprint itself. I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Marissa, who's going to give you a really brief history of the project.
Thanks, Brett. So there's been a history of buildings on this site as far back on maps that we could find from the 1880s. We think these there were a number of original linear greenhouses on the within the public garden. One of them was on the site of this building. Next. By 1883, actually, the maps show a more square building in the same location. And again, we're on the east edge of the public garden. Some of these maps are flipped in different orientations just because of the way they were originally made. And then next, we can see by 1901 in this G.H. Walker map that they've actually started to lay out some of the really important specimen trees and things, a lot of, some of which may still be there. You'll notice as we go through that the pathways change over time, but there's consistently a building in this location. Next. In 1946, the squarish building that was shown in those late 1800s and early 1900s plans was replaced, or at least the design was drawn in 1946 for a new building, which expanded the footprint slightly to make a more rectangular shaped building that accommodated not only restrooms, which we believe the original building was, but also a workshop for the maintenance staff. And you can see the layout here on the north half, which is on the left of the screen, was the workshop with a double door leading out. That door has since been turned into an overhead door. And then on the south side was a women's restroom, a staffed women's restroom. You can see the matron's office on the lower right corner. And this building was really designed to emulate or learn from the original building that we actually can see in one of these, in a spectacular photograph from 1890, from the original stick style building that was there, at least from 1883, which we can tell from the maps. The building that was there originally, which is depicted in in the left image and in the middle, was in the stick style. We think it was actually one of many buildings like this that were comfort stations throughout the public garden and the common. And so what you're seeing in the middle is a page from the Engineering Review from April 1912 that shows a public comfort station, this one at West Street on the Common, but we can tell from the photograph that they were actually very similar. So in 1946, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to uncover why, a new building was designed, again, to kind of emulate that original style. A lot of the details were stripped down, as you can kind of see from those old photographs there on the left. And it was actually built as a concrete block building with wood ornamentation on the outside. Next. So I mentioned as we were looking at those maps that also, over time, not only has the building changed, but the pathways have changed. So we've kind of overlaid all of the historic maps that we found and found that, it's a constant evolution. Of pathways on the top, 1890 to 1910 was when it was a women's comfort station. You can see there was kind of a forecourt entryway on the south. In this case, north is right on the page. And all of the plans that we'll show you from now on, we'll have plan right. So on the bottom of the page will be Charles Street. Starting in 19, the plans that we could find anyway in the 1970s is where we get more of the pathway configuration that we have today. We have the path going off to the south, leading to the single door, which would have been the women's comfort station entrance, and then a path on access with the building leading off to the north. In 1983, we think was when the parking area was expanded and the curb cut created out to Charles Street. So this is the building in its current state. As I mentioned, you know, it is a concrete block structure with the wood ornamentation applied. The wood is in various stages of degradation. There has been quite a bit of loss in terms due to rot, due to water penetration, due to animals just eating out the woodwork. On the left is the view from the south with the single door that is currently accessed, currently used to access the Swan Boat space. And then the image on the right is looking at the north side, which is where the double door was and is now an overhead garage door. And then the south facade has a few windows and shrubbery in front. Next. So on the interior, I think Brett mentioned the Parks Department does a phenomenal job of maintenance in this very, you know, out of this very small space. They also use every last cubic inch of the space. They're highly organized, but they're just completely, you know, running out of space and not able to store some of the larger equipment that they need to maintain the park. Next. So what happens with that is that their space needs have really spilled out. They have a shipping container that's been on site for quite a while. That's sitting on the roots of an English oak, which is concerning, but they do use that space for their large, in the summer, they use it for their large mowers. And you can also see some leaf blowers and weed whackers and things like that, as well as some extraneous equipment. They end up parking some of their equipment outside all the time, just simply because they have nowhere else to put it. Next. And I'll hand this over to Kyle Zick to go through the existing conditions and plans.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry, Kyle. I mean, you should be able to unmute.
Yeah, you can hear me? Great, thank you. So now we're shifting to a site plan. This is the northeast corner of the public garden with Charles Street at the bottom of the page and Beacon Street on the right and the lagoon at the top. Few important landmarks, the Swan Boats dock and the suspension bridge are in the upper left corner. And then they're labeled, but the Beacon Street entrance in the lower right and then the Charles Street crosswalk. That just gives you a little bit of context for the tool house itself and the maintenance yard, which is in the center of this drawing, but more toward the Charles Street edge. I think that was probably deliberate, you know, the building was more toward the edge of the park versus in the middle. Next slide, please. An important aspect of the project is that we really need to clarify that this is a maintenance facility and it's not a public amenity, because the pathways and the buildings really present themselves as, you know, like the right-hand image here, a visitor coming from Beacon Street is drawn to the building. They're expecting wayfinding information, a drinking fountain or a restroom or something. And they routinely stop staff, maintenance staff, and say, hey, you know, where are these things? So as we start to really focus on the maintenance activities, we want to make sure those paths reinforce maintenance and access for the Swan Boats, but don't promote that visitor, drawing visitors in. The other things we're thinking about are safety and drainage with the driveway, that curb cut off of Charles Street. So that's getting vehicles in and out safely, emptying dumpsters, but also within the maintenance yard itself, making sure that maintenance activities don't conflict with parking or access to some of the exterior program elements for the Border Brigade or Rose Brigade. And then Marissa already mentioned the shipping container. Because the equipment is just kind of spilling out of the building, they need a secure place for that equipment. And that shipping container is on the roots of a specimen English oak. Next slide. The trees are of utmost importance to us. I mean, there's many, many trees in the public garden with high horticultural value, and that's no exception around the tool house itself. I already mentioned the English oak, which we have a picture of in the lower right there. Across the path from it is a 40-inch diameter rock elm. And on the south side of the building is there are a number of trees. In the foreground of that left-hand photo is a European beech. Behind it is a Swiss stone pine. And then up against the Charles Street fence is a 30-inch diameter willow and a 24-inch diameter honey locust. So as we start to, as we've developed design alternatives, we've been very conscious of the impact and protecting all of these trees, and not just the physical trunk and the canopy, but the root system as well.
Thanks, Kyle. So with that in mind, we looked at many iterations of plan studies to understand, you know, how best to accommodate the program that Parks really needs to be able to operate and maintain this really historic and important gem that we have in our city. You know, keeping in mind all of not only, you know, the locations of the tree roots, but how low the limbing is. So we went out and actually measured how low, especially in that, on that oak, the lower branches are. And we looked at, you know, many iterations. Some of them even included demolishing the tool house, which we ultimately decided was not the right decision. I hope you'll be happy to hear that. But we, you know, in the interest of trying to understand what the most efficient way to get the space that Parks needs without infringing into the green space and the public space of the public garden. We looked at, you know, many different ways of doing so, and ultimately came to the proposed plan that we'll show you next. So this plan consists of an addition, technically a detached addition, to the east of the existing building, so situated right between the existing building and Charles Street. It is sitting mostly on the footprint of the existing pavement, of the existing parking area. The paving in turn gets expanded by a few feet, just a few feet to the north. We have located it, you know, there so that we are not affecting our, you know, the really important specimen trees that are around the building. It also allowed us to kind of tuck the addition in behind the existing building, as you see it from within the public garden. And that was really important to us as part of this siting. At a site scale, we've also narrowed and reconfigured some of the paths that Kyle showed you. The path coming off to the south, we're proposing to make narrower and with a small cobble strip to indicate that this is a change in material, a change in use. And then the vehicular path that used to go straight off to the north and really be on access as you're coming in through that entrance from Beacon Street, we propose turning to the west so that it's really clearly not a public pathway. Around the perimeter of the building, which you'll see a little bit better in the enlarged plan, we're proposing a mix of evergreen and deciduous foundation planting at various heights to kind of further nestle the building into the park. Next slide. So zooming in, as Brett mentioned, this is a 635, I think, square foot existing building. We are proposing to use a little bit less square footage than they currently have for swan boats and maintain their space there, accessed from that south door. They'll have storage in a single user bathroom. The remainder of the existing building will be used as a garage space for Parks. And they have a number of large equipment pieces. Shown there is a skid steer, two golf carts. They drive the golf carts around, you know, on a daily, hourly basis, going in to pick up the trash from all of the trash receptacles, gathering all of the yard waste, et cetera. And then they have two large mowers, which will be located in a new garage in the addition. So what you're seeing to the east of the existing building is a new building that's roughly 700 square feet. That will house all Parks spaces. They will have a garage, as I mentioned, a small vestibule with a single user bathroom off of it, a small workshop space, which they currently don't have. Anytime they need to actually work on, you know, fixing some equipment or anything, they're doing that within the garage. And then they have a break space, a changing space, and an office space for the foreman. You know, we've really tried to be as minimal as possible with the program and really just pack as much into a small space as we can. Something else that is shown on the corner of the new addition is storage for the rows and border brigades that will be within the envelope of the new building. As I mentioned, the addition will be mostly on the footprint of the existing paving. There is a 6-foot fence all the way around it right now. I don't know if Brett, you can kind of show where that blue dashed line is. Yeah, this is the existing fence line. And then on the north, we are pushing out just by a few feet in order to get our dumpster access space for one or maybe two cars. Right now they park up to 8 cars plus a large dumpster in that space. And we were doing this so that we don't have to relocate the existing granite posts that maybe Brett can point to on the plan at the extents of the existing curb cut. We are proposing to add one additional granite post to allow us to have a separate gate for dumpster access that can be closed off, and we'll show you those in the rendering views. Finally, there will be a new fence around the perimeter of the new yard. It will be lower and more transparent in front of the tool house, where it says new fence and gates right there. And then around the parking yard, it will be a little bit higher and more opaque so that we're obscuring the activities that we don't really want to see in the public garden. I should mention also, we are right now, this slab of the existing building is at 2 heights. And you might have noticed the 3 steps up from the existing path. We are proposing to lower that so that the swan boat space and all of the park spaces can be accessible. So it can be a step-free access.
All right, so I'll take it from here. Thanks, Marissa. So just looking at the exterior materials, and in case any commissioners, if you're looking for material samples, we did drop off several samples with Chelsea. So hopefully they're in her office. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about the material treatment in really kind of 3 different components. So the first one is the existing tool house building that's currently a kind of monochrome green. It's a very typical green color that you see on infrastructure throughout Boston. And we'd like to, just given the kind of decorative quality of the building, maybe tweak that just a little bit and think of it more in a kind of analogous color scheme so that we highlight some of the detailing of the architectural elements. The second component is the new construction, and that we've chosen as a slate material, picking up on the slate roof of the existing building. And this is treated as a kind of vertical element with slight projections that it's going to build off of the verticality of the existing building. And the third component is that wood fence. And what we're imagining is a kind of cedar fence that will weather to a nice silver gray. And as Marissa explained in the floor plans, that has kind of different heights depending where you are in the building. So I'm going to walk you around the building with a series of renderings and then show you some line drawings at the end. This view is from more or less a suspension bridge looking at the tool house at a distance. And you can see some of the improvements that we're proposing here. One is a kind of narrowed pathway with a cobblestone strip that hopes to try to clarify that this is less of a public building and more of a maintenance facility, but still kind of captures that picturesque character of the existing tool house with that stick style. We know that in the original landmark application for the public garden that this building was mentioned as a kind of contributing element to the overall feeling of atmosphere of the park. And you can see off to the right here, heading towards Charles Street, that's the addition with the slate color in a single punched window. And then kind of walking a little bit closer towards Charles Street, this is near the Charles Street entrance, looking head on to the existing building. You can see that there's a small gap between the existing and the new construction. And as Marissa also mentioned, we really try to tuck the building back behind the existing tool house as much as possible. We really want the building to kind of recede into the background and feel a little bit more like a landscape element. And just zooming in a little bit on the kind of details of what we're proposing, there are some important alignments. So one is maintaining this gap between the existing building and the new, so that there's some breathing room and that you can really see the existing building in the round on four sides. The second is trying to tuck the new construction under the eaves of the existing building, and it actually kind of lines up with this elbow and some of that wood detailing. So your eye kind of has a place to land on the existing building. And then the third part is really trying to pick up on some of that verticality that is evident in the existing building, both through the boards that are in the field of the wall, and then especially in the detailing, as this is broken up into brackets. And what we're proposing here is a kind of vertical slate element that projects just ever so slightly, as you can see over on the right-hand side of this image, and then a wider slate piece that sits back in the wall field. We think this will give a nice play of shadows on the building without calling too much attention to it. And then we're continuing to walk around the building. This is at the crosswalk from Boston Common heading into the public garden. And you can see that it kind of forms an edge and helps shield that view of the maintenance yard from that primary access point between the public garden and the common. And then as you walk along this sidewalk of Charles Street, which is not especially well-traveled, but it includes a bike path and there's quite a bit of parking along Charles Street, looking into the maintenance yard, what we're proposing is these two granite posts. These are existing that would be repaired and they would remain. The wrought iron fence would remain as well. And then there is a sliding motorized gate that could slide open and close to provide access into that yard. Ideally, it would typically be closed. And then two swing gates, new wrought iron gates to help shield the view of the dumpsters. And those would terminate in a new granite post that would match the two existing. There's also these smaller granite posts, the curb cut, and this one would remain in place, and then we would move the existing for the wider curb cut. And then just completing our walk around the building, this is from the Beacon Street side, the viewing from the north, looking towards the existing, you can see that new construction really recedes into the background, and then the treatment of that wood fence that will weather to a silver gray. And as Marissa was explaining, the lower portion of that would be opaque so that you are screened from view from the dumpsters and some of the tools that'll live in that maintenance yard. And then in this area, just in front of the existing building, that becomes more transparent so that you have a view of the building in the round, a view of the existing building in the round. So just to talk a little bit about the scope of the repairs, just a little bit with all of you. This is a view of the west elevation. You can see some of the deterioration that is on the existing building. Interestingly, in 1946, when this was built, all of these architectural details were actually built up with 3/4-inch trim. They're not solid stock. And what we're going to propose in the repairs is to mill those out of solid wood so that they stand the test of time. This is a view of the existing exterior from the south side. And I just want to point out to you, this is the swing door into this swan boat space. This is one of kind of two major changes to the existing building. So as Marissa mentioned, there is a stepped slab. We want to lower that and make it accessible. So what we're proposing is to extend that door two steps down and remove the landing and then build the grade up to it, so that it meets the existing slab and that it's fully accessible. And then looking at this from the north side, this is really the crux of what brought us to you through here, which I understand a number of months ago, there was a proposal to insert a single swing door that was met with some concerns from the commission. What we're proposing is to remove that roll-up door and replace it with what was originally designed in 1946, which was two swinging doors, so that on the addition, we can have more of a roll-up door with a garage space that would meet the needs of the Parks Department. And with that, I'm going to say thanks so much and happy to take your comments and your questions.
And I'm sure there will be some. Thanks.
Yeah, Lynn, I have some things I can say. Is that
yeah, please. Okay? Yes.
Can we get to one of the shots that shows the addition in juxtaposition to the original building? And sure. Then while you're bringing that up, what is the original building date back to?
1946.
46, okay.
Start at the building here, David. You can tell if you want to go forward.
I guess I'm all for contemporary expressions. And typically we always encourage that, certainly in landmark districts when there's going to be a new addition or even a neighboring building to a historic building. If, you know, we prefer to see it as a something with contemporary expression. I'm not sure. Well, I know I'm not sure, but I don't feel in this case that this is a successful way of showing the addition. To me, my first look at it, even though I don't, you know, after you said that the materials, I think you said they're going to be slate. I mean, the texture of that as you look at it could be the texture of a metal storage unit. I mean, it has that sort of style of blankness and starkness to it, especially as it joins in with the existing structure. I just think it's very stark in its look, and I don't know why you pulled back from showing any kind of more texture or a larger scale to the detailing of it that could maybe tie it in a little bit better to the existing structure. And it also there's no expression to anything on the roof line, so it could even be mistaken for just a large fence rather than a structure. So I'm kind of shocked by this, to be honest with you. So that's just my impression of the look of this. In terms of the building itself, and what you're, you know, the addition itself, you've obviously, I'm sure, looked at the program that they're looking for, and you've got enough space in there for all of those, the tools and stuff. That one shot that you showed looked like one area was completely engulfed with things. So I'm guessing you do have enough room to house all of that, plus the large scale of the mowers and the vehicles and all of that. So I won't necessarily comment on that. The other thing I was thinking of too is the building as it comes close to Charles Street. To me, it seems like there should be a further setback so you can get more of a planting strip in there to help at least conceal some more of that building, by pulling it back, I don't know, through another 3 feet or more. That would help to bring the landscaping in and help to clean that up. And then in terms of the curb cut here, what you're showing, what you show is swinging doors. That is a new piece to the curb cut, or is that existing?
That's a new piece.
Okay. And so basically that whole stretch will now be a lowered curb for access. And the ones with the doors are going to be solely to access the dumpster. And I assume the truck will back in that way and do whatever they need to do to empty it. So in other words, it looks like it's going to be sitting, the truck will be sitting on the sidewalk for a period of time until they finish doing whatever they need to do, rather than have the truck be able to pull completely in and get off of the public sidewalk and even part of it, which might protrude into the street. But I realize that's going to eat into your enclosed drive area. So that was a bit of a concern. And I guess then the rest of the opening there after the doors, that is now, that's just going to be completely open. You don't have any, I think you said you have gates or something that will be closing there that would, you'd be able to look through it. That would look like the metal fencing that's there now. Is that the idea?
Yeah, there would be a sliding gate here that would move back and forth.
And then would that, so that would be closed most of the day, or do you think it would be open most of the day and then closed just at night? I'm just thinking of the openness of that, because the view into that space from Charles Street wasn't, it wasn't really the best view. And it's a pretty big opening.
Ideally, it would be closed most of the time. Part of the problem that they have now is that there's not enough space to have it swing open and shut carefully or conveniently. And so people use that as a cross, as a shortcut through the park. And we want to make sure that that's not a shortcut for anybody but the maintenance folks.
All right. And then on the, and I'm sorry, I'm losing my compass points here, but on the side where you have the sign that says new opaque fence around parking area, that, did you have an elevation of that? I mean, I'm sure you did, but I didn't catch what that fence would look like.
Yeah.
Assuming it's going to be a wood fence or not, and how high? Oh, and that's the vertical ribbing. Is that the one?
It's this view here.
Oh, so that's it. Okay. So it will be opaque for the first, what is that, 6 feet or something, and then up above it looks like it kind of
it's about 5.5 feet. It lines up with the granite post that's existing.
All right. Okay, so in other words, it'll hide vehicles that are in, that are might be parked in there for the most part,
right,
from view. Okay. And that was going to be wood that you said would just weather to a gray.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the improvements that you're making to the original structure, I think that's fine. And I like the idea of maybe doing a little bit of a tonal detail on it to help pop out some of the more interesting detail. So those are my comments. I'd be very interested to hear what others have to say about it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, David. Other comments or questions?
I'll just jump in quickly.
Okay, John.
This is John Freeman. Hi. I think the way you've handled the planning is excellent. I think the way you're handling the change in the past is excellent. I think where you've located the building and how it sits is exactly right. But like David, I do have a concern about the texture and the materials. And I think I would at least like to ask you to revisit that and think of some alternatives that might fit in or harmonize, or whatever you want to call it, with the existing building a little more. And like David said, I don't have any problem with contemporary expression. In fact, I think that's a good thing. And I think it's a good thing in this location. It's a contemporary need and a contemporary use. So it's just that one thing. I think everything else is excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Others?
You know, it's hard to know what something's going to look like in real life as opposed to in an image. But I think the combination of what it looks like and the fact that with exception of that one window, it's an unbroken surface. In a picture, it looks like a storage container.
Mm-hmm.
Now the texture of the material, maybe it wouldn't look like that at all in real life, but it doesn't seem frankly worthy to sit next to that other building.
Okay, thanks, Susan. I have a question. Could we see the other view, the other side where there's a single window in the... So I guess you can see it in this one. Yeah. I feel, again, shipping container is the first thing that I thought of when I saw this, but I think that single window kind of punched into it somehow reinforces that feeling. I wonder if a little more fenestration.
There was a closer view of that, wasn't there?
Was there?
I thought there was. Yeah, there you go.
And perhaps it's the scale of that window compared to the windows in the original structure. Maybe, it looks like it feels too big.
I mean, I think the texture is almost too fine so that when you're at a distance, it reads as a solid almost. I think if it had more, if you're going to break it up, it would be better to look at the scale of how the original building is broken up into larger sections like that, that could maybe carry along. And I think it would help link it a little bit better to the main building, but also, you know, not have it look quite so flat and you know, shipping container like. Yeah.
Could I, Brett, do you mind if I just add something here?
Sure.
So the last time we looked at this project, we were shown two different material options. And you'll have to help me here, Brett, but one of them was sort of a wooden...
It was terracotta, yep.
Yeah, you had the terracotta, but then didn't we also look at a version where it was wood only?
We did, yeah.
Okay, so but this building has been tested with a lot of different materials, and I think that it was a maintenance concern from Parks that we not go forward with looking at the terracotta and that we not go forward with looking at the wood surface. I personally thought that both of those options were much more compelling than the slate. And I just happened to go to a seminar today about a new way to use, I think it's called acetylated wood, which is just makes it basically as hard as a rock. So I don't know if there's a new way of using wood that we could look at, but I remember the project being very handsome in the wood surface. And part of the fun of it was that it was a play on, is it fence? Is it building? What part is fence? What part is building? And even your window fenestration had some play on was it a window? Is it not a window? Solid versus somewhat transparent. So I know, and I know you probably maybe feel the same way, but I know that the maintenance of this building is a great concern to the Parks Department. So I'm not trying to discount that at all. And I think that slate obviously would be an easier thing to manage. But just so that the commissioners know that there have been a lot of different versions and maybe we could look at some of those again.
Okay, thanks, Chelsea.
Chelsea, I'm gonna jump in because you helped me focus some thoughts. I think, you know, we're all looking at this in terms of how it's sited and where it's sited. And I appreciate that you're paying particular attention to trees and vehicular access and changing park paths so that park visitors aren't led down a path into a kind of service entrance. We're also looking at, I think, form and expression. I'm not entirely convinced, I think, as Commissioner Freeman is, about the siting, and I'll tell you why. And I see that you've considered, you know, 24 or more variations. I may be one of those people in the minority that does walk on that sidewalk north and south on Charles Street, and I'm worried that it comes so close to that sidewalk that it interrupts more than I would like a kind of vista of the park and makes me feel crowded halfway down the block. That probably could be overcome with something Chelsea said. I think maybe picking up on what you guys said, but I don't I feel it's an unfulfilled promise, which is, you know, kind of what is this? Is this an extension onto the Victorian building? Is this a new pavilion, a second pavilion in a, you know, new vocabulary, which we would all support? Or is this a landscape element? And I feel like the landscape element actually holds a lot of promise. when Chelsea was talking about, you know, kind of layering, and I see in the opposite view that you don't have on the screen right now, a kind of layering of the fence and an eroding of the fence and a picking up of the texture of the building, which that image, which starts to feel really promising to me. And I'm even wondering if, you know, greenery can be introduced and some of that, in a kind of climbing hydrangea kind of way or something. And I'm not a landscape architect or a plants person particularly. But that if we could push that, treating it as a garden element, as an element of landscape more than an element of a pavilion, another pavilion, a more modern, lower deferential pavilion, or an extension of this pavilion, I think that might be fruitful. And I have always sworn that if one begins a sentence of architectural critique with the phrase, it looks like, that you have failed as a critic. But I am having a hard time focusing my thoughts other than to say I agree with other commissioners in saying it looks like a shipping container, or I think your next slide, maybe 28, if you don't mind going to slide 28. You're at 32, so it looks very much like, oh, your 28 is different than my 28. Okay. Go a couple more if you don't mind. You have a different presentation than the one we received.
I'll go slow. You can tell me.
That's all right. This one, it looks like the truck is backed up to that building and potentially blocking my way as I'm walking on that sidewalk, certainly blocking my view of half the park as I'm walking on that sidewalk. Now, if it felt like, okay, there's a garden pavilion or a layered aspect of fence and building, I think I could start to feel better by it. I will also stipulate that I know that you guys are thorough and talented and thoughtful, and I have an enormous amount of confidence in what you will come up with in the end. I have enormous amount of confidence that this beautifully detailed, vertically expressed slate composition, but I don't think the vertical is working for the reasons that everyone keeps saying. Maybe there are ways to meet some durability requirements in other materials or in slate, but in other dispositions. It feels close, but it's not. I'm also just thinking what, you know, average people walking by are going to feel, and I worry.
Jeffrey has his hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, kind of echo Brad, that my first thought was trellises and climbing hydrangeas. but, you know, maybe the kind of board and batten effect of the vertical siding, you know, maybe one way to make that look a little more like it relates to the original building is more is to either vary it and make it not completely uniform, or widen it to make it relate a little bit more to the planes that are defined on the stick style building, because, you know, the planes and the X's and all that sort of thing. Unfortunately, you've got a very overtly playful building, an unusually playful building for 1946, up against which you're putting this, a modern expression. So that makes the challenge even somewhat greater. But I think that maybe playing with that, the articulation of how the narrowness of the planes on the vertical siding would help diminish the kind of shipping container effect. And just widen that. I like the idea of using the slate material. Certainly no one's going to want to paint anything or stain anything, and it will start to rot quickly if it's wood, and Parks Department won't be very happy about it. So some beautiful material that's used in an interesting way on the cladding could be really interesting in that spot, especially if it related to something on the existing building. So.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I liked Brad's use of the word layering. Kind of layers of landscape, kind of softening this effect and making it more of a landscape element. Anyone else? Richard.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Is there, Lynn, I had some comments.
I thought I saw Richard's okay. hand up. But then he suddenly disappeared.
Justine's hand is up.
Okay, Justine, yeah.
Thanks. I just had a couple of quick things spinning away from that facade a bit. Is the Parks Department the only folks that maintain the grounds here? Or are there other vendors that supplement their work?
So the Friends of the Public Garden help in some of the maintenance of the landscape features. They don't do anything with the buildings or the structures. There's a Rose Brigade and a Border Brigade that kind of focus in on those particular areas of the park. And then the Swan Boats is a vendor to the city, but they operate and have been for many decades, the Swan Boats in the lagoon.
Okay, so the space that you're expanding now, is that also intended to house or I guess facilitate any of these other vendors on a regular basis or any sort of magnitude?
Yeah, so if you, in this plan, the area in blue is for the Swan Boats. Okay. They operate from April until Labor Day. And then the Friends of the Public Garden have an area where they can store some of their tools and equipment in this brigade storage closet here.
Okay, great. And then in terms of the trash management, do they currently store the trash in an exterior placement, like kind of how you have it laid out here, or is it currently being stored inside of the, I think they have a storage container out there now, right?
It's currently stored, I think you can see it in this plan, this longer white bar. It's an 80 yard container that's open on the top. It's within the yard and then a truck backs in and pulls it out. Everything is co-mingled. There's no recycling currently in the garden. And so organic waste, yard waste, trash, recycling, all of that gets thrown away and taken out. And so one of the aspects operationally that we're going to explore with this new construction is that recycling will be separated from trash, which will be separated from yard waste.
Okay, and all stored outside in a similar condition where it's not a covered or enclosed space.
Yeah, it'll be stored outside, and it will also, because they're smaller containers, each one, the collection will happen more frequently.
That was my next question. So, great. That's all I had.
Thanks, Justine. David?
Yeah, if you can get back to the image that had the elevation that showed the long wall, long blank wall. Yeah, well, this will be fine, I guess, here too. So this wall also is angled from what I just saw on the plan. I mean, I think I love the idea when contemporary architecture does sort of take on a different, it doesn't necessarily conform to the alignments, but again, this park in this condition, I just wonder if that, you know, was better, would be better to align it. And then I'm thinking in terms of an idea to help break up this long length of sort of single texture of the wall. If you could, you know, you look at the original building and there's the verticality of it is broken up into larger segments. So I'm wondering if maybe this new facade had, you looked at sort of a push and pull design where, say, the whole length of that wall was, say, I'm just going to use the number, it was broken up into six segments. And so some of them pushed forward, some of them pushed back. And there was a little bit more modulation to it that sort of picked up on the scale of the modulation that you sort of see and that the original building kind of presents. I think it's kind of interesting if you can work in that slate idea. I think that could be something interesting and certainly would be durable. So with that said, and then I had another thought on there was a shot that you had of that, there was an oak, and maybe this is for the landscape architect, but you had an oak in the back that looked like it had a lot of, what I guess was a lot of wood chips or something around it, or some mulch covering it, and wondered, with this new design, is that going to still be something that's going to happen? Because my concern here for this beautiful tree is that, yes, you have this pile up of I guess that's mulch. But you also got equipment on the root systems, and that's, you know, the compaction that's going to, that must be occurring because of that. I mean, I realize this is a bobcat, so it's maybe not quite as heavy as a dump truck, but wonder, is this now, is this problem going to be mitigated now with this new design, or will this still be a store place for the mulch?
I'll try to answer that one by like bringing up the plan. So we have two areas. There's this area, which is enclosed by the higher fence, that's intended for the vehicular and the dumpster area and to be a kind of lay down area. There's a second area, which is more for the mulch storage and, you know, temporary leaf collection. So all of that really is intended to be brought inside the extents of the fence.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
Richard.
I didn't have my microphone working. I just wanted to, kind of out of left field, but built on something that Brad said about this being more of a landscape element than a building element. Could we think about this entirely differently as we are creating a maintenance yard that is fenced with a high fence, and maybe the fence, because it's not a building, could be more of a traditional look of a fence. And the building just becomes a very simple building that's not trying to be anything, because it's basically just a maintenance building behind a fence. I'll leave it at that.
Interesting thought. So if there are no more comments or questions from commissioners, I think we've covered a lot of territory.
I would just like to say that all of the comments have been fantastic, and I thank you all for them. I think you've hit on the kind of the crux of the design issue that we've been working through with Chelsea and Joe, and of course the facilities department and the parks department. And that is, you know, does the addition want to be an expression as a building, or does it want to be an expression as a landscape component as a fence? And we've gone through many iterations, and we've, you know, shown a smaller proportion of them to Chelsea and Joe, and then we're showing you, you know, just one tonight. But I can assure you there are many, many others that we've looked at. Wow. And where we've landed is that we think that it should be an expression less as a building and more as a fence. And maybe we're not quite there with, you know, this kind of interim landing spot with the expression of the slate. And the facade. And then I think the comments about the windows are also really important. So we'll take all of that, you know, and continue to refine the design. The second issue that is, you know, just of critical importance to us is really defining the extents of this project and recognizing that we're really kind of hemmed in between Charles Street, these four or five specimen trees that really, I mean, it's the landscape that is the character of the public garden, not this building. The building kind of supports that. And so wanting to be as deferential as possible and jump through as many hoops as we possibly can to keep those trees vibrant and healthy and, you know, try to get this project as small a footprint as it possibly can. And so every, you know, it's been a real push and pull between setting back from Charles Street versus setting back from the root zone of the trees versus giving some breathing room to the existing building and then also allowing some of the important maintenance functions that happen on the right side of this plan. And there are a lot of moving parts and we're trying to kind of find that right balance. But like I said, this, we're here for the advisory and it's great to get all of your opinions and we'll continue to refine it and we'll be coming back to you. So thank you.
I do have a parting thought. You're thinking of a new name for this building, something besides tool shed. I think Brad used the word pavilion, but I like pavilion. It's got a little more, I don't know, tool pavilion, gardener's pavilion, I don't know. It isn't really it's a pavilion. So, okay, we look forward to seeing you when you come back. Thank you.
Great, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, all.
All right. So final order of business, staff updates, if there are any.
We are just kind of chugging along. We're preparing for Preservation Month that starts, of course, on May 1st. And I don't know if Dorothy has anything she wants to mention, but I know that we were trying to get some photos of the baby, of Jennifer's and Ben's baby, to circulate to y'all. And I think Gabby's working on that. So as soon as we have that, we can have those, we can share them with you all. But I don't know. Dorothy, are you still there? I can't see anyone else.
I'm here. Like you say, we're just chugging along. And our preservation calendar list of events is growing, looks pretty swell. So we'll have that ready for running May 1st, I think it is. And yeah, it's just stuff, stuff, and more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you all then. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I guess I can make a motion. A second. All second. In favor.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Aye.
Good night.